This is a Get Serial podcast. You can check out more Get Serial at syn.org.au and at Get Serial on Facebook, Twitter and Instagram.
We have the writers and the star of comedy show High Achievers, which is now featuring at the Melbourne Fringe Festival. So I'd like to welcome Chelsea Zeller, Tim Smith and Michael Syme. Welcome to our show.
Welcome, guys.
Good morning.
Good morning, guys.
What a pleasure.
Oh, thank you.
Yes. It's great to have two Michaels in the studio. I just got to say, it's a Michael thing, and we have a lot of pride whenever there's another Michael around.
Absolutely. Would you mind the Michaels are speaking?
Sorry.
Yeah, excuse me.
Would you go Nick or Michael? Do you go?
Don't call me. We were discussing this before.
Will you go? When someone says, "Hey Nick, come over here," do you go? Oh well, I'm waiting for Michael.
Yes. I do not like. I don't like Mick. I'm just not a big Mick guy. But
am
I?
Yes. About half an hour ago. We said, do you prefer, we're telling a story about, we have an imbecile of the week, so someone that who we think's done like a really Muppety thing of the week.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have a legend, and we had a gentleman, and we usually give people, you know, we give them a little alias name, and I went to say Mick. You just kind of go for the most bogan
name,
don't you? Okay. We went to say Mick. He was Steve. Essentially, he was Steve. We called him Steve, but I went, well, what about Mick? And then I thought, oh, actually, we've already got a Michael. That's a bit confusing.
Mm.
Hence, spiraled into a conversation about, are you a Michael or you a Mick?
Well, what? And you're an Emily.
I'm an Emma, actually.
An Emma.
Emma's just easy. We shorten it for radio. And that also means if I'm on various shows, I can have a different name for every show.
Yeah. And there's a bit of mystery because you could be Emmanuel.
Emma Lyon, I've heard. Then I just go, why are you just not Emma?
I feel like any name could be bogan said with the right inflection, you know?
Oh, yes.
Charles.
Prince Charles is coming over.
But even if it's meant, like, really not even bogany, like, you can just, like, we shorten names. I interviewed a comedian who's actually at Melbourne Fringe, Matt Harvey, over the weekend, and his show speaks about words and Australian slang, and it's just like, we shorten everything, you know, Gaz. Baz. We like one syllable word.
Halves.
Strine. We speak strine.
Yes.
Strine.
Strine. Stormy. Stormy. Stormy.
Suck of the sauce bottle. When you go overseas, don't you just Aussie up? Like, when you're overseas, it's your job to just go, oh, mate, say the other side of the black stump, mate. You just like, oh, yeah, well, we all speak like this, mate. You just try not moving around when you're speaking.
When I lived in the UK, you become particularly proud of your bogan.
Yeah.
Because you're like, oh, all these English people, they're quite posh. And you're like, nah, gonna be bogan as.
Yeah.
But many of my jobs and all the many of the people that I worked with, I would show them, there's this video that's all about Australian slang, and I would just show them this video, and we'd sit like five of us around a computer and watching like Bicky. Like biscuit, Bicky. Chocolate, Chucky. Chocolate biscuit, Chucky Bicky. And they thought it was hilarious, but hey.
But see, you can also elongate the word too. Like, see, Australians, as to use nicknames, often will be longer than the person's name. I love the fact that we're not happy with what we've got. We're going to change it, whether it be small. 100%. Sure.
Well, you had the O, so you got Dave O, Steve O.
Yeah.
Make it longer.
Yeah.
And then you change it depending on the mood. So if you're like really, you're really glad to see something, Dave O. But then if you're really mad, it's like. Dave.
Well, you know you're in trouble with your mum or dad when they use your full name.
Full name.
Yeah, you know, like, oh, we're not mucking about.
Yeah.
And that's when you learn you do have a full name, you know?
Yeah.
It's like, what?
Oh,
that's my name?
Really?
It's christened that? Oh, unreal.
Where did that come from? Anyway, guys, so we just want to talk a bit about the show.
So
the show has got some really rave reviews since it showed at Melbourne Comedy Festival beginning of the year. So the Herald Sun called it refreshing. You had 5 stars from Samsara Dunstan of what she did think, and a showcase of both the superb writing and acting by Pop Culturey. So for those who may not already know, what would you please be able to tell us what your show's actually about?
Mm.
Right, well,
You all looked at each other.
Well, she knows. Well, she's doing it. Chels does a heavy lifting.
I got this one, guys.
Lifting.
Don't worry about it. Well, basically, it's a satire. It's of the comedy. It's a satirical comedy of the motivational speaking circuit. So nice. It's very much a spoof on the self-help genre. Yep. Because there's a lot of comedic potential there. And so basically, it's an evening hosted by a very pessimistic life coach, where you meet four other motivational speakers. There's a former Australian Test cricketer, a teenage Australian rapper, an adventure.
They're both men, by the way.
They're both men.
they are played by Chelsea.
Yes. Yes. An adventurer, an explorer, and a zoologist who's been living with sloths in the jungles of South America for the last 6 years.
It's the only way to live. That's what I'm going to say.
And she'll tell you all about it in the show as well. So, so you just kind of get a little snippet into these people's lives, and they talk about, you know, why it is that they are such an inspiration. Yeah. And, yeah, but really, you know, it's all very much just it's a fun time, and you know, I get to play a bunch of different characters.
That's so good. So, yeah. But it's such, I think it's so relevant at the moment, because like most workplaces now, you are made to go and see these motivational type course people, and I guess they're earning their money and credits off people being subjected to their horrific nonsense, and they talk in almost a different language, which was a joy to write for Chelsea, because she's such a great performer, and she's got a great ability to talk underwater with a mouthful of marbles, and so she can tackle a line like none other, and so it was almost a challenge for Michael and I to basically make it as wordy and as intricate as possible, and to see how Chelsea'd go, and she's done amazingly well with it.
Oh, it's just
you're a joy to watch.
You are. You hang up.
After you. On the count of three.
Now, Chelsea, you play a variety of all these incredible characters by the sound of it.
Yeah.
How do you go with actually transitioning between and making these transitions smooth between? Is it a fact of go behind stage, come out in your cricket pads and your bat and go, well, you know, I did open the batting back in the day. How do you do those smooth transitions in the show? Is there a kind of way of weaving it in and out?
So it all just happens on stage, and there's no real change in costume at all. There's a couple of alterations like my suit jacket and things like that, you know. But
props, really. Yeah,
flip it inside out.
Well, yeah, it's all pretty. Yeah, kind of like, you know. I mean, you'll see me maybe tie it around my waist for one character, and like untuck my shirt for the other character. But it's all pretty simple.
Let your imagination run.
Pretty much, yeah. Because you know, we're not trying to make any illusions that we're in, you know, a small theatre space on top of a restaurant in North Melbourne, and that you know, you are just watching one woman play a bunch of different characters, and so it's like and there's not really the room for me to be able to continually change, you know. I feel like, you know, I think you kind of get the idea that we're what we're doing. Yes. So yeah, it kind of just you know, just rockets along. It's a nice little quick show, so
it altered the rhythm too. We discussed this early on to how I guess how deeply you change the look of the performer. And really, if they're really bad, then they change the look a lot. Mm. If they're really, really talented like you are, you don't really need you don't need those props, because you are a different person.
Mm.
And
exactly.
And it's amazing to watch her do it.
But I think that also being able to do that allows you to show what you can do and your skills, your acting skills, because if you had to do props, then you would be really relying on the props, where you're actually really relying on your skills and the story.
Mm. Exactly.
And I think the fact that you've got such rave reviews about the show is testament to the fact that you can do it, and that it is all you.
Yeah, that's
right.
And it's
not just, oh, I'm going to quickly put a full face of makeup on, I'm going to put on a wig, I'm going to wear a full costume, and then, you know, in that transition.
Totally,
All the characters, though, do you have a favourite, and which one do you think audiences connect with most?
you know, I had a favorite and it changed after we, you know, after our first season in Comedy Festival. My favorite has now become Penelope, who is also been affectionately named the Sloth Lady. Because, and audiences seem to really like her. So I think she's just a bit of a change of pace from the rest of the show. But she's just so incredibly, you know, sweet and endearing, but also really cynical and bitter.
Okay.
Yeah, so...
Nice blend from a zoologist. I like it.
Well, she's spent 60 years studying these sloths, and at the end she realises that they don't do anything. So really her life has been wasted.
So that's it, yeah.
I think Penelope needs... There's a YouTube video and they've got a sloth and they throw it into
I've
the
seen
air.
It.
And it flies away, but yeah, I believe I can fly. And I think she just needs to see that to know there is some power in sloths. But if that's what 60 years
that's her motivational video.
Yeah. Motivates her to keep going. Like, I hope so.
Yeah.
That's
a
really great video.
Yeah, it is great. I have seen that video and it's awesome.
Baby sloths are very cute.
They are very cute.
I love the internet. It's fantastic.
There's actually also a movie called Zootopia, and they have a sloth. And it's like they go to the DMV in the States where you go and you get, you know, get your driver's license. The sloth is working because it's got the reputation for being a really slow moving organization. The person that runs it is they're all sloths, and so they're waiting for all the information, and it's this sloth, and she's like, "Yep, just wait." And it's like, just click a button, it takes about 2 seconds, and you can just see it's this fox and this rabbit, and they get really, really frustrated.
So, it's a great film, actually.
There's your motivational video for the day. There you go.
If you can't do anything, at least watch Zootopia. It is a ripping film. Justin Bateman, I believe, provides
one of them. Jason Bateman.
Sorry, the Justin Bateman is from another show. Don't watch any of his work.
Just lesser known. Now, guys, it's true that you guys have previously worked together on the show. So what is it that... Is there a particular synergy with you guys as a working crew? Is there, well, what kind of inspired you guys to work together, and what is it that you guys do so well as a team?
Well, we did a show with five very talented performers, including Chelsea. And after we'd done that, they were all great. But we went, well, we could write something just for Chelsea to do. And in that show, she did lots of characters, and so we wanted to do something that had, you know, more than just one character. We knew she could play a character great, but we thought, what's an excuse to have more than one character in a show? And that's where we got to this idea of a, almost like TED Talks or a group of inspirational speakers. What makes us work well together? I don't know. She says what we write and it works all right.
Yeah, it seems to go all right. We wrote a sketch for this show called Work, 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 which was Adam International and Eve Incorporated, and they were basically hammering out, it was lawyers hammering out how women and men would basically amalgamate. And so it was it was quite a long sketch. It probably went probably about 15 minutes.
Yeah,
it
was pretty long.
And it was a long sketch for a sketch show. But it was really, really well received. And we really enjoyed writing it. And Chelsea was played the female lawyer in the sketch and representing all of women. And all these things are hammered out. And we basically just went, wow, it'd be really nice to do some stuff with Chelsea and see just because... her range is quite extraordinary, and so we just sort of thought, wow, we really should explore this, because we did lots of little sort of bits and pieces, and we really tried to, I guess, with the Work, Work, Work show, we had five gun performers, and we really wanted to sort of share it all out, and so we just sort of thought, wow, we'd like to see Chelsea do that bit. I'd like to see Chelsea, and then Michael and I were sort of discussing it, going, well, Chelsea could probably do a lot of these things, as they all probably could have, but we were probably more interested in seeing Chelsea handle some of the other things, or we just sort of, well, we can make that happen. We can have a bit of an explore of her range, which is, and it's such a great fun thing to watch, because she is very tricky. She's very well. How tricky are you? Ask her what she's. Ask her where she's been.
Yeah.
Just now, you should. Pump, now I'm going to make you pump yourself up because you won't.
Yeah.
Ask her where she has just been, please.
Where have you just been?
Oh, you're going to love this.
I love these guys. Oh, I just got back from the second city, Chicago. So,
Chicago! Swinging city!
Yeah! Yeah, so I got a scholarship to study improv and sketch writing there. So
oh, wow!
I was there for a few months and just...
Oh, my God.
Yeah,
so
it was incredible.
How have you fit the shows in between? Because you were here in March, April.
Yes.
And now you're back.
Yeah, so I...
How have you fit... you know, training and practicing around studies?
So as soon as the show was done, I had a couple of months to just, you know, save all my pennies and get over there so I could, you know, be over there for a while. And kind of was just working on the Fringe show while I was in Chicago, which was intense because we were also writing new sketches every day and working on material every day. But it was incredible. And watching and seeing comedy every night. Yeah. It was just incredible.
It sounds like heaven.
It got a huge scene there.
Yeah.
A little bit of heaven.
Yeah. And then, you know, I got back a week ago. And so we're just jumping back into it now. So
no rest for the wicked.
I know.
Pardon the pun for your character, of course. Yeah.
But Fringe is, you know, Fringe is such a like an exciting... and also can be very, you know, intense time for a lot of people because there's a lot going on. But I feel very, very grateful that we put the hard yards in earlier in the year. Yep. So now it's quite easy to kind of just get back on its feet again.
Rhythm.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
So, but I love working with these guys.
You're making them
blush. The fact that you just sing my praises all the time. I just take you around.
They want a ticket to Chicago. They want to come along.
Yeah.
Take them in your bag.
Yeah.
Well, as a performer, there would be nothing better than to study with Second City or Ground. Or one of those amazing setups.
Yeah.
And they've got so much history behind them because the Second City have produced, like, you know, Bill Murray and people like Hardcore, Dan Aykroyd. All these guys have come from this group and they're still going strong. And I think that I'm so looking forward to seeing what you've learned over there too, to see what you would bring to the show.
Yeah.
I think it's going to be really cool, Chelsea.
Yeah, thanks.
It's going to be... It's going to be really good because it was fantastic.
Yep.
Now I think it's going to be incredible.
Nice. So actually, for our listeners who don't already know Chelsea, you're a trained actor.
You are.
That's what you originally studied. So what actually inspired you to become go down the comedy path?
It's just my natural inclination. Okay. I've always loved, you know, performing comedy. Mm-hmm. As you know, and as a kid, I've always you know, been drawn to that as well. Mm-hmm. And I mean, I guess while I was at drama school, which I loved training at VCA, but I was often put in the most dramatic roles you could possibly get, so often playing a lot of victims and things like that. And so, you know, while it was very, you know, rewarding for me to be able to play those kinds of roles and I learned a lot and I'm very grateful, at the same time it was just like, where can I fit a joke in here? Like, where can I kind of like, you know, bust out
and
do something.
At the end of Romeo and Juliet, you passing out and then just like cracking in a joke.
Yeah.
And then just taking a whole new direction.
Yeah.
And then a really serious teacher just sitting down there going, no.
Yeah.
And you're going, yes, it works.
Yes, yes, yes. Yeah, exactly. But no, to be honest, I mean, I feel like I've always wanted to write and perform comedy. And I mean, I've been working with a theatre company, which I also co-founded with a couple of years that were in my, a couple of guys that were in my year at VCA, called Fear and Love, and we're a clowning company. Mm-hmm. So, you know, it's always kind of like, you know, been there in the back burner.
Okay.
But now I feel like, you know, since I've started working with these guys, and I feel like that now I'm exactly where I kind of need to be. This is where I want to keep moving forward. So, yeah, we'll see. We'll take it step by step.
Step by step. Now, now the Herald Sun, another great praise from them about the show, have said it's more of a theatrical show. So what kind of sets you guys apart from some of the other shows at the Melbourne Fringe Festival? Were you aware of the comment?
Michael probably saw more Melbourne comedy festival shows.
And yeah, well, I mean, yeah. It's obviously it's different to stand up because it's not just one person on stage, you know, more or less presenting themselves. This is theatrical in the sense that, Chelsea's in character the whole way through it. But there's not a lot of, you know, smoke or chandeliers falling from the ceiling or helicopters or anything coming into the theatre. So I don't come expecting that, but it's certainly it's got a plot. The host of the evening, Lynn Purcell, who's a very Anthony Robbins type go-getter life coach woman, comes back throughout the show between the other characters, and we actually get a bit of her story with her husband. So I think it's theatrical in the sense that there is a plot and it's all sort of characters. I don't know. There's much more I can say than that.
Without giving too much away.
Yeah.
And suspense.
Yeah, we don't want to ruin it. You've got to go and see it. Everyone has to see it because you may as well see it now when you can actually get in to see Chelsea. Because if you leave it a few years, you won't.
That leads me to my next question: is that you've shown at Melbourne Comedy Festival, you're showing at Melbourne Fringe. Mm-hmm. Do you, as a team, have plans to take it elsewhere?
To Chicago!
or is this the last run of it, and should all of our listeners be running to the ticket to get tickets and see you?
Well, it might be the last run of it. Someone else knows something else.
I mean, there is another performance which I haven't told Tim and Michael about.
It's not the last run of it.
Cool. Good place to bake.
Yeah, but it's just something that's just popped up over the weekend. I'm performing it again at the Village Festival in Edinburgh Gardens. Yeah,
Hey,
guys, come along.
Excellent.
We love live radio. All of our secrets are revealed.
Yeah. That's at the end of October, but at the moment we don't have any fast plans to have another season in Melbourne, so this could be it for now until
you
we
might
have
trot it out
next
to Edinburgh.
Year.
You were thinking about maybe doing it. You were thinking about taking it. But
yeah,
you weren't sure.
I'll see. Edinburgh's a tough one.
It's a long way from here, honey.
It's a different game, but it's also. Yeah. I didn't get to go to Edinburgh Fringe, but my boyfriend, he's a musician, and he got to play at Edinburgh Fringe part of the show. Yeah. But his show was really quirky. So as long as it's funny, trust me, this one was weird. It was. I can say it because I'm in a different country. It was, and it had a point, but it was this. It was more an activist piece, and what they did, it was a musical show, and they used puppets. But the point of it was using puppets that were deceased animals.
Oh. Nice. Yeah. I've done that myself.
Yeah. And it's just
taxidermy kind of stuff.
It was taxidermy, but however, there was a dog, and the dog was her old. So it couldn't be an animal. The point of it was all about animal rights, and the show. So, for example, the dog was her childhood pet. And then they had a fox, but then they would also go, like, you know, when you go and buy a whole chicken from Safeway or Coles, they had like chickens on like sticks and things like that. So
we used to use chickens as marionette puppets.
Really?
Yeah. Tim, you're going to tell this story?
No, I'm not.
It's a story for another day.
We went and did it all around the world, and we'd tell the story of Little Red Riding Hood through marionette puppets and dead chickens, which was fantastic, because they were too Germanic too. They were sort of like, we are now going to tell you the story of Little Red Riding Hood. So it was sort of great fun, but very weird. You've got to worry when your car start really going off.
They will go off. I said to my boyfriend, I said, so how did you cope with the smell? Because he's a drummer. He's like, I was a bit behind, so you didn't get it. But he said, of the raw meats that hadn't been preserved, yes, they had to replenish.
Yeah, well, there's a turnover.
Week, so he said every few days they had to go buy some more stuff. And I was just like, okay. Oh. But he said because she'd done the show so many times that, for example, like the fox is the main character. Mm. And the fox was looking a little bit haggard by the end of the 4 weeks of intense shows. Oh, yeah. But it was a really interesting show. I was a bit sad that I didn't get to see her. I thought it would have been really cool to see. But he, got that. So I think if you get to Edinburgh Fringe, you know you've made it. That's my first.
Well, it's always good fun.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
Now, guys, where can our lovely listeners listening in today, because they've been motivated by this amazing motivational talk, this TED-inspired talk.
That's right.
Where can they find some show information and the tickets?
So if you jump online to the Melbourne Fringe website, which is www.melbournefringe.com.au, and you search High Achievers, you will be able to find us there and book a ticket. And also, our show's only got 6 performances, so it's a real quick little run.
Getting quick.
Open this Thursday on the 21st of September, and we close next Tuesday on the 26th. So get on in there,
get
guys.
Get in there.
Yeah.
Been inspired.
It's at Errols & Co., by the way, I should mention. Errols & Co., which used to be Errols upstairs, but it's just, you know, it's the same space. It's on Errol Street, close to the hub. So, yeah, there's plenty of other great shows happening there in the same venue as well. So get amongst it.
Guys, get on it.
Get on it.
Yeah.
Quick, hurry, fast, guys, don't hold back. Anyway, Tim, guys. Michael, Chelsea, thank you so much for coming in this morning. We really appreciate it.
This has been a Get Serial podcast. Get Serial, 6 till 9 a.m. weekdays only on Sin.